Areena.
Hello and welcome back to our All Points North on video series. I'm Ronan Brown, and today we're going to be talking about a troubling trend that has come to light in Finland over the past year or so. And what's even probably more troubling about this trend is that many people seem to be unaware of it. So I'm referring to the increasing circulation of explicit deepfake images and videos. In Finland, as well as in many other countries across the world, we have seen cases where sexualized images have been created of women without their knowledge or consent and then posted online. The victims in these cases, and as well other countries, but in Finland, the victims in these cases have ranged from women in the public spotlight to ordinary citizens to even young girls. So my guest this week in the studio to discuss this issue is Johanna Veikko, an Yle journalist who has extensively investigated this topic. Johanna, you're very welcome on the show.
Thank you very much.
Okay. So I wanted to start with some of the cases that you have investigated and uncovered. So what can you tell us about what you found out?
So we've done multiple stories within the past, past 8 months or so about this phenomenon in Finland. The first one we did was we found a victim who was who had been, you know, a victim of deepfake abuse, but the police hadn't really taken on her case at that point, and she was suffering immensely from this, and it was like an ongoing abuse that was still happening to her. Yeah. So we interviewed her anonymously because the case was like ongoing, and during that investigation, we found out that there had been by then, this was January, only one court conviction of cases like this. It came from the Turku area, and the perpetrator had been fined for making some of these images.
Okay.
So then we moved on to find where exactly these images of Finnish women might be shared. And we started looking on various different platforms in sort of very, very shady, very murky corners of the internet, as you might imagine.
Yes, indeed.
We found a lot of nudified images and these like animated GIFs of Finnish women who work in the public eye. So I'm talking about politicians, artists, singers, athletes, people like this, well-known people. So we could like easily identify these people in the images, and we could start counting how many images of these particular Finnish women we could find. And we also followed nine profiles who were creating and sharing these images. And out of these nine profiles alone, we could find 1,500 of these images of well-known Finnish women and 75 women altogether. And we contacted several of these victims for the story, but most of them didn't want to talk about it publicly because this kind of like the shame of this is still very much kind of like people think that it's somehow sets on the victim, whereas, you know, of course it should be on the other side. It
Absolutely.
Should be placed on the perpetrators and the people who shared these images.
And of the people you've interviewed that have wanted to talk about, what impact have they said that it's had on their lives?
They have a lot of them have like lost their sense of security. Like sense of safety, like they're walking on the street, they're thinking, is somebody taking my picture? Have they seen that nudified picture and thought that it was actually a real picture of me? These are the things that they talk about.
Yeah.
They talk about sleeping problems, you know, depression, really severe psychological effects.
Absolutely.
But then on the other hand, we made this other very, very long-term investigation where we tracked down this man who lives in a small Finnish town. And he had made these explicit deepfakes of ordinary women who are not in any way in the public eye. But these were mostly women that he knows in his private life, who are friends of his, even relatives, his co-workers, people like this. And This was like even more disturbing in a way.
I was going to say that, yeah. Mm,
and as it happened that some of these women who were victims in this case, who we interviewed, they said that they had worked in this like male-dominated workplace for a very long time, and somehow they've gotten used to, unfortunately, and all manner of abuse coming from men and sort of sexualized talk at the workplace and things like this. So in a way, they were kind of less shocked. Mm-hmm. But yet they felt utterly betrayed by this man who they thought that, you know, that he was their friend and they had trusted him.
Yeah, it's almost shocking in itself that the women have become immune to this kind of behavior. But of course, this is a whole new sort of new ground for this kind of harassment and abuse. And of course, more recently, we've had another case, quite disturbing case, just last week. Can you tell us anything about that?
Oh, yes. In Lappeenranta, there is this case where a young man has been arrested. I'm not sure if he's arrested, actually, but he's being investigated by the police. And he has, allegedly made a big number of AI deepfakes of young girls who are like under 18 years of age. And this might be the biggest case of this kind in Finland so far. It's still a bit unclear as to how many images and how many victims there are or will be in the end of this investigation, because it's only just started. But it's a very, very disturbing case, especially because this is material concerning children.
Absolutely, yeah. Okay, they're the kind of specific cases, and I guess the question that it kind of begs it: how much of a problem would you say that this is? How much of a kind of crisis does Finland face in this respect, or is it just kind of very isolated cases spread around the country? Or what are we talking about here? Do you think?
I think we're talking about an epidemic, really. I think this perpetrates our society. Like entirely. It's happening in schools, it's happening in workplaces, as I've just described, it's happening to well-known women, it's happening to, you know, not well-known women at all, it's happening to children, and it's happening in the army. Another case that I didn't even get to now that I reported on was at the Kainuun Prikaati in the army, where women who had been serving as conscripts, they had been victims of this, so it's just everywhere. Yeah. And I think in order for us to kind of fight this epidemic, we have to, as a society, actually face the fact that we are living in an epidemic like this, and we're gonna have to have a wide-ranging discussion about this in our society.
Yeah, it's kind of striking that so many people are not aware that this is happening. I think that maybe is also part of the problem. I know this is maybe a speculative question, but what do you think is the motivation for people to create and distribute these messages, these images, and why are they doing that?
So we tried to get to the bottom of that as well by talking to these men themselves. So we created these fake profiles on these platforms where these images had been, were being shared and are being shared. And we sent messages, private messages, to some of these men. And some of them, just said, well, for instance, one person said that, I just happen to think that Finnish female politicians are just sexy. I just want to imagine them naked. That's what he said.
Okay.
So I guess he was alluding to a purely kind of like sexual motive, sexual gratification. But then what I think a lot of researchers have said about this phenomenon is that, that may be a part of it, but then there's this, it's humiliation, it's a sense of control, it's like a continuation of the fact that, for a very, very long time of human history, men have wanted, or at least some men have wanted, to control women's bodies, you know, against their will.
Yeah, it goes back through history, absolutely. With this kind of new phenomenon, if I can say it like that, when I first kind of encountered it, of course, it's been happening in other countries as well. And there's been some quite famous cases from Spain, from the UK, from Australia. But it was very difficult for me to understand what exactly could be the sort of defense or the justification or the reasoning why someone would do something like this. And one argument that seems to pop up again and again is that it's not real, so therefore the impact can't be real. Have you encountered that as well in Finland, and what do you think about that?
Absolutely, yeah. And we've had a lot of feedback from some of the readers of these stories who are saying exactly that. They're saying, you know, it can't really hurt you because it's not really this woman's body, and you know, right. It's just a computer generated sort of estimation of their body and that sort of thing, and that it couldn't hurt you. But of course it hurts the victims. You know, they are being sexualized and undressed against their own will. Usually they don't even know that they're being, you know, that this is happening to them, maybe before the police or a journalist tells them that this is happening. And it comes as a huge shock. Some of these younger people who become victims, who are under 18, they fear that their parents or, you know, whomever, grown-ups in their lives, would not understand that this is actually a fake and that they have not been in an image like this. And they're afraid of, like, you know, reputational damage, you know, mobbing, all kinds of things.
Like even their employment prospects, getting a job, keeping a job, anything like that. I just want to talk a little bit about the sort of the Finnish context here. Obviously, we hear a lot internationally, Finland is a kind of a leader in gender equality and women's place in society and things like that. What would you say to that in this context? Does that hold water? Does that stand to questioning?
Well, as a female journalist who is specialized in disinformation and verification, I have seen and been subjected to a lot of hate online. And, you know, there is just a lot of misogyny online and has been for a long time in Finland. So, you know, maybe on paper, we're like, you know, one of the better pupils in the world. But the reality, when you look at what's happening online and the way women are being spoken about and spoken to, is just really quite awful. So basically, I just knew that this sort of digital violence and abuse would be happening in Finland as well.
Do you think the discourse in Finland has changed significantly, say, over the last 10, 15, 20 years? Because to my mind, at least when I first started coming to Finland back in the early 2000s to now, maybe it's just that I wasn't paying attention so much to the conversations in the past, but now I'm seeing what seems like a gradual deterioration in how, well, obviously how people speak to each other, but certainly how people speak about women.
Certainly I feel that, you know, it has, like, the discussion has become kind of harsher in that sense. And the way, like, the threshold of, like, sending hateful messages directly to, for instance, people in the public eye has, you know, lowered a lot. But that's a global thing, of course. Yeah. But, you know, definitely it's happening here.
Yeah. Just keeping it on the kind of global perspective, have you seen any particular countries that have dealt with this issue particularly well or not dealt with this issue particularly well, or something Finland can learn?
I think there was a massive scandal in South Korea about this, and I think they had a major crackdown. But I can't really talk to that so much because I haven't really looked into that you know, in depth.
Yeah.
But right now, of course, the EU is trying to crack down on this to some extent. So the EU is going to, you know, at least try ban these nudification apps that are used to undress women and children.
Yeah. We come to that now, actually, about what can be done about this, because my understanding of current Finnish legislation is that distributing the images is against the law, but creating them is not. That's currently the law, as I understand it, in Finland. In the UK, that used to be how the law was, but since then, since some case last year, kind of groundbreaking case last year, creating the images also against the law. What do you think about Finland's current legislation on this? Do you think it's enough?
So after we published these bigger investigations, some of the politicians in Finland did propose that Finland should also criminalize production of these images. Then we, you know, from our newsroom, we have interviewed some of the experts, legal experts in Finland, and they tend to say that, well, we have this legislation that we have, it's enough, and we don't really like have enough experience from the courts as to how well it's working, or how, you know, if it's not working or if it's not enough, like we don't know, we don't have the experience yet, is what they would say. But then also they would say that it would be very, very difficult to, you know, to find out if somebody is simply producing them, and if they are not sharing them, then, you know, how would you even find out that they have these images? But there is a point to be made that in that just the simple production of these images requires that, you know, the models that you are using to create these images have been trained on, you know, have been trained without people's consent, probably.
Yeah.
So they have been trained on nude images. They have been trained on child sexual abuse material. So just, you know, simply using these kinds of tools, you know, it's, I don't know if it should be legal at all. And also what our legislation says, well, what you just described applies to adult victims. But if the victim is a minor, so under 18, then in that case, even just producing and having these images is illegal.
Okay, yeah, it's good to make that point. But what would you like to see done about this from on the back of all your investigating and reporting?
I think right now the most effective way would be deplatforming, meaning that a lot of the tech companies and hosting companies could, they could do this today, by the way. It's it really shouldn't be very hard to do. They could do a centralized deplatforming in the way that they would not host these websites and these apps on these hosting companies shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
And then, for instance, Apple and Google shouldn't be selling these apps on their app stores. And they are selling them. Mm-hmm. They're making money. They're making, you know, they're profiting off this abuse. And for instance, Meta is running, even currently, Meta is running thousands of adverts for these apps. And these adverts can be like, they're kind of hidden in a way, like they don't advertise, you know, with the words nudification or nudify or, you know, that sort of thing. But they use kind of like code words and phrases and that sort of thing. But they use quite pornographic imagery actually in these adverts.
Okay.
So I'm sure, you know, Meta should be able to, like, you know, just automatically find these kinds of adverts and remove them. But Meta is profiting from this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's one very popular one of these apps that name we're not going to mention, but it's very obvious from the name what it does, and it's very difficult to understand how that can be sold. That's from the platform's perspective. What about kind of Finnish society or Finnish legislative perspective? What would you like to see happen?
Well, for example, in this case where the young soldiers had been creating these images of these female soldiers, this went to court. And they got, you know, they admitted to doing this, and they got fined. Is that enough? I mean, you know, paying a few hundred euros for doing that, it just doesn't seem like it's quite enough. And in this case, where this one man had created these nudes out of 50 women, most of whom he knew.
Yeah.
This is an ongoing investigation with the police, so we don't know yet how it's going to pan out.
Mm.
But, you know, seeing as this is like, you know, it's been going on for a couple of years. There are so many victims, a massive amount of these images. Like, this is, I think this is quite a serious crime, and it should be sentenced in that way. So is it going to be judged that way? I'm not too sure.
Yeah. And will the sentence like act as a deterrent or not at all? Be interesting to see. And then from the sort of wider society perspective, what needs to change? Is there enough understanding that this is happening, that this is wrong? What do you think about Finnish society's angle?
Well, I'm pretty sure that most people don't even know that it's happening and that it's illegal. And I'm quite sure that a lot of the people who are sharing these images online don't know that it's illegal and wouldn't even think that they might get caught doing that. But it's such a widespread phenomenon, and it's just so easy to do. Anyone can become a victim of this just any day. And, you know, one of the perpetrators whom we talked to under this fake profile, he said that he had created 200 images in one day alone. It's just so prolific. And it's happening just all the time. It just needs to be stopped. But Finland alone obviously cannot stop it, even if you know, our society wanted to.
Of course.
But we definitely need, you know, more awareness. We need more discussion about this. We might need tighter legal boundaries around it. But, you know, that's up to the politicians. But, you know, first of all, we need to have this discussion. Mm. So these stories that we started making in the beginning of this year have been the first investigations into this phenomenon in Finland.
Yeah.
And we're like 2 years behind these other countries who've, you know, investigated these crimes in journalism and in you know, different legal entities.
Indeed, and a few years behind the perpetrators as well, I guess. If this was to continue with the trend that is currently going, what do you see as the potential consequences? I know you mentioned earlier an epidemic, but where do you think this could be going if there isn't going to be a change?
I think it's in schools now. It's definitely in schools. Mm. We're just not hearing about it so much. But, you know, even younger and younger, especially girls, will be victimized.
Mm.
And this will, you know, wreak havoc in schools, in young girls' lives. It's, you know, nobody would wish this upon their own child, I'm sure.
Absolutely not.
Mm. So, I think we're in danger of this becoming also, like, normalized, because people are thinking, well, you know, it's just happening. What can we do? You know, and then it just becomes normalized in a way, and it's not really talked about because it's just, you know, it's just a thing that happens.
Yeah.
And I don't think we should let a thing like this to be that sort of thing, you know, to go without a proper discussion and proper action.
Absolutely. It really does feel like a subject that everyone should be concerned about in society. What kind of society we live in, if this does become normalized, it doesn't bear thinking about. Maybe my final question then would be, most importantly, of course, for the victims of these images and this harassment. You've spoken to quite a few. What would you kind of advise people who do find themselves the victim of something like this, or how might they avoid it? Unfortunately, some of the advice that is given that we've seen in other countries doesn't really work, such as women shouldn't post photos of themselves online. Obviously, that's ridiculous advice. But what would you say more practically?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's obviously not practical to, you know, not post any photos online. And this is what we hear a lot, of course, you know. But you know, just imagine, you know, living a normal, you know, life in the year 2026 is just, you know, not possible.
Absolutely.
To not have any photos online. And also that would be curtailing, you know, women's free expression, which is unbearable in a democratic society.
Exactly.
But what victims can do is definitely, like, if and when they find out that this has been happening, collect all the evidence, because it can disappear at any time. And then after that, it'll be impossible for the police to investigate it, and you know, the perpetrators will not get caught. But these perpetrators, they leave digital footprints, you know, and they can be followed. So if we as journalists can follow them, then, you know, the police can follow them as well. And these things can actually be investigated. So save all of the evidence that you possibly can. You can also, like, ask a friend to do that, a trusted person to do that. So then you don't have to, like, subject yourself to this material. And then there are, like, for instance, Naisten Linja, has this like helpline phone, and there are experts there who know about digital violence. So that's somewhere where you can get like mental support.
Okay, okay, great. Okay, are you hopeful that there can be change in this area, that improvements can come?
I'm hopeful in that I think the EU is going to try and crack down on this, and if you know, politicians would make a lot of noise about these technical solutions, meaning this deplatforming, meaning this, you know, not hosting these sites and not for them not to be able to sell these apps and, you know, work these websites. I think the solution lies there.
Okay, very good. Thank you very, very much for joining me today and for shedding light on this really important topic that, as I said at the start, many people don't seem to be aware of. But as Johanna said, this is clearly an issue that requires a lot of attention from politicians, as we talked about, from the platform providers and from society as a whole, of course. But before we go, I'd like to say a big thank you again to our All Points North audience for listening to and watching this podcast. We will be back again on the 1st of October. So until then, take care. Thank you.